Welcome to the Coach's Corner podcast, brought to you by the South Florida chapter of the International Coaching Federation, where our goal is to engage, motivate, and inspire. On the Coach's Corner, we speak with the great professional coaches of ICF South Florida. We hear about what compels them to coach, we talk about the people they support, and the tools and techniques that they use to get the job done. Coaching is a hugely specialized craft, and this inside look at the power and the promise of coaching is both an exploration and a celebration of our member coaches, their talents, and their client successes. Hello, I'm Eric Gorris, a member of the ICF South Florida Programming Committee and host of the Coach's Corner podcast. If you're a coach, I'd like to invite you to visit the ICF South Florida website so you can learn more about our chapter's benefits and program offerings. To learn more, go to icfsouthflorida.org. Check out our calendar of events, and if you find an event that interests you, register for free as our guest. Just use the promo code PODCAST. Today, we're on the line with Fernando Salas, PCC, an icon in the industry, a coach who has been coaching way longer than coaching was a thing, all the way back to the 1980s. Today, Fernando surfs, boxes, coaches, instructs, and is the founder and leader of ILC, International Life and Leadership Coaching Academy, a coach training institute founded in Caracas, now based here in Miami, and up to very recently, a school that exclusively served Spanish-speaking students here in the USA, but predominantly in Latin America. Welcome today to the show, Fernando Salas. Fernando, I'm always curious how people get into coaching and become coaches, and I'd like to hear sort of your journey about becoming a coach from a surfer.
I was raised in Washington, D.C., in the 60s. And my father was a diplomat, the whole thing. My family was there for 7-8 years. And abruptly, we were returned to Caracas, Venezuela in 1970. So for me, it was a shock. You know, I was used to, you know, going out on the bikes, Rock Creek Park, the whole thing back in the 70s, get home before dark. And all of a sudden, I'm in a place where it's Spanish. They put me in a school of Augustinian monks. And it kind of hit me that to a point that I did not want to speak the language. That's how hurt I was. My friends were here. There was no internet. There was no phone, you know, to call. I mean, I didn't know how to. It was really a shock. And I was a little bit introverted at the time. I liked to, you know, music and painting. So I became really introverted to a point of shyness, to a point that I did not speak for 3 months or something like that. I had to repeat third grade. They put me in third grade again. It was like my parents thought, this guy's nuts. The shyness continued through high school, and surfing became a place where I could just get away from everything. It was a sport. I did not have to participate with people, and it was my place, my time. And the few friends I had were surfers, and that was it. But the shyness was socially challenging. You know, I'm the only Venezuelan that does not know how to dance, because I could have never tolerated somebody, you know, a rejection. I would have jumped over a bridge or something like that. So when I went to school, I went to college in the United States. I went first to Daytona Beach. And that's when I started looking for something to help cope with shyness. 1 o'clock in the morning, and I see an infomercial of this fella talking about power and personal power and overcoming challenges. And that was the first time that I heard a fella say, you know what I do? This is like coaching, but for life. And this is life coaching. It's Tony Robbins. So I ordered the 24 personal power program tapes. And when I listened to that, the back of my head blew up. And what surged in me was, I have to know everything that this guy knows, because this can help me. So every time he said something, I'd write down the author. And that was like detective work for about 3 to 5 years, you know, Bandler, Grinder, you know, all the stuff, Virginia Satir, you know, the whole movement in California. So I started chasing this trail of knowledge that at that time was becoming coaching. So in 1984, I come back to Venezuela, to Caracas, Venezuela, graduated. Venezuela was a great country to be in. And you know, the first thing I did, since I was a surfer, I wanted to have a life that was surfing. I was an artist, so I would paint, and I would teach English at a school, the Venezuelan American Center, from 3 to 7. And I started using the processes I learned from NLP at the time and Tony Robbins to inspire people to visualize themselves speaking English, presenting. And that got me hired to a company called Communispon Incorporated in New York City that was a sales training and sales coaching consulting firm worldwide. That's when I started getting into training. I was also account executive. So one of the 1997, one of the banner years, they invited me to corporate headquarters. And then the trainers there were telling me, you know, Fernando, there's this thing we're getting into. It's coaching. I was like, well, yeah. Like, no. This is something else. This is coaching. You got to learn this stuff. You know, that was the time of the forum and ICF was starting to get it. That's how I got into coaching. So around millennial, I started doing the programs in Coachville. Around 2010, I completed a certification, not through Coachville, but through this UK outfit called the ICC with Joseph O'Connor. And that was my first formal certification. And I've taken that banner and I haven't stopped. I just started giving keynotes, traveling, delivering this in Spanish at that time, because what happened in Latin America is very particular. The coaching that arrived to Latin America, especially to Argentina and Chile, came from the human development, human potential movement in California with Werner Erhard, where he partnered with Fernando Flores. And Fernando Flores is the father of ontological coaching. So these fellas in Latin America took that ontological approach. So the coaching that was being delivered was very deep, very philosophical, very MCC level, you know, but it was too profound for what people wanted. It didn't have that what-oriented, you know, results-oriented thing that's part of coaching. It was all introspective. It was all being. And I was doing something different. So when I came out with this approach and I started developing my own certification program, it was kind of like a rebellious approach to what was there, because they were always seeing that, oh no, we have the South American coaching and the American coaching, but they would say it as a, you know, that kind of anti-American sentiment that I did not understand. So I kind of turned it around, and now we're, thank God, we're one of the largest education providers of coaching, and I have managed to develop a team that this past year was accredited with 2 level 1 programs.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, and that's an incredible journey. I mean, to think about going all the way back to the 80s to be talking about coaching. I love the fact that it started with Tony Robbins. I mean, in many ways, sort of an inspiration to so many, for sure. But I mean, it's really interesting the way that turned you around.
And a lot of, you know, I kind of quiet down the whole Tony thing, because you talk in the circles of coaching. No, Tony doesn't coach. Wait. Tony has to entertain 30,000 people. If he does a coaching session sitting down, 30,000 people are just going to go to sleep. So he has to entertain and teach. But I have managed to follow the Tony Robbins, you know, line of education. You know, the DWD, the Business Mastery, then the Robbins Madanis with Chloe Madanis training, and then her Chloe Madanis' daughter, Magali Pesha, and Mark Pesha have the Coaching Institute, just to know what are the strategic interventions that Tony uses. And there is coaching there.
Yeah.
There is powerful questioning, but there's a lot of NLP and stuff. But these are the strategic interventions. You can or may not use it in a formal coaching session, but there's a lot there. And then that whole intentionality of Tony's work, which is core values, you know, working hard, aiming for the best, being the best of the best, contributing to success of others. I think that's aligned with what people need. It's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's okay to understand that, you know, this man doesn't have to be one thing. You could be a motivator, a motivational speaker, and you can also be a coach. And you can sort of, so many of us coaches change what hats we're wearing depending on what room we're in or how we're trying to work or what we're trying to achieve. So I give him a lot of latitude, and I give him a tremendous amount of credit for really just sort of opening the door for a lot of things and definitely inspiring and changing a lot of lives. If that's what we're here for, is to impact people's lives, well, there's no argument there. He's very effective at that.
Absolutely.
You know, Fernando, you brought up a couple of things that I think are interesting. I want to hear just a few minutes, if you wouldn't mind, on this ontological approach. Again, thinking of the listeners who may not be familiar with that, and I would like to hear a little bit more about it myself. But before we get to that, my God, you were talking NLP in the 80s and 90s. I mean, I didn't realize NLP went back that far.
Yeah, well, The thing is, Richard Mandler and John Grinder at LP came out from them looking at the greatest therapists of the time, Virginia Satir. What were they doing? So they could model kind of approach, and they generated this neuro-linguistic programming, which is being delivered in the University of California. In fact, the story is that Tony Robbins went to Santa Cruz, where he went into the classes, and he wasn't a formal student, and he went, we got to use this. And the student says, no, we have to be certified. He says, no, I'm a businessman. And he started doing his thing with NLP, you know, that the snake, the whole thing. So ontology is the logos of the being, and it's about how you are being in the world effective. It's a who-oriented approach towards transformation. And from that tool set of knowledge, they generated ontological coaching. They call it ontological because it's focused on the being more than the doing. For me, it's just coaching. Coaching is coaching. And you have a spectrum of possibilities to be creative and develop your own style. Now, what's happening now is that there are 8 million coaches in LinkedIn, and only 50,000 in the world have credentials. The differentiator is the credential, because the reverse engineering of these technological companies that are $4.5 billion companies, they give technology of assessments and all kinds of stuff for executives. Companies with Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 purchase coaching across the board, and they hire coaches. So they're seeing who are the ones that are getting the results. And when they do the reverse engineering, they say, oh, these guys are PCCs. These guys are this. And so now, you know, it's kind of like a Darwinian kind of thing that, yes, the credential has value because the ICF is rigorous. You know, to get a credential, you got 100 hours, 500 hours, you know, the videos, the rigorosity of the competencies. You got to demonstrate competency, and it's good. But the coach has to take that and untie his hands so he can do what he does in the session, which is magic. What happens in the session with a competent coach is that through that experience, the more coaching he does, the more creative you get, things start happening. You start really going deep. Sometimes you express yourself, and it's a partnership, and it's very beautiful.
Yeah, and truly a partnership, and I'm glad that you brought that up. And yes, you're right. It becomes, you know, instincts start to kick in, intuition starts to kick in. You know, there's the magic happens when we aren't trying to, or at least for me, when we're not trying to just, you know, execute against that ICF format, or in fact, any session format, and are just in it. And in that moment, at least for me, those are when I feel like I'm most present with my clients, when they, I believe when they feel that they're getting the most out of me as well.
Yeah. That's what the clients want. I remember once we were having an interview with David Peterson, God rest his soul, with Fernando Saiz Fort, who has like a WBEX kind of thing, but in Spanish in Argentina. And wanted to invite him to be one of the speakers. And you know, it's David Peterson. You know, it's like speaking with the Godfather. And you know, what do you expect of a coach when you hire? He says, if I hire a coach, and you know that he once was the executive director of coaching in Google. He says, if I hire a coach, your role is to help the clients by any means. And so Fernando Saiz Fort is kind of like questioning, but wait a minute, you know? So we can do whatever, you do whatever it takes to help the client. So what you're telling me is that the coach can tell the client what to do? Indeed.
Yeah, how'd that go?
I was translating, I was sweating. It was like, you know, it was like looking at Brando, you know, in Apocalypse. The words, I mean, I never forget this when he says, if you are going to sacrifice helping the client in order to be loyal to a methodology, you missed the point. Boom. And I thought that made a lot of sense.
Yeah. Bravo, right? So now I bet that must somehow feed into your own personal coaching philosophy and perhaps the school as well?
Yeah, well, the school is a school. We generated the school in 2014. In 2013 was our first life and leadership coaching certification in Margarita Island. It was developed in the roof of a building in Caracas, Venezuela. Very few means. And I managed to attract three partners, these women that are academics, they're teachers. They're also in love with coaching and developed a an academic foundation to what I was doing that was very off the top and entertaining the whole thing. Right now, we're going through our cohort number 112, 112.
Wow.
So we've had 112 opportunities to delivering a 4 to 6 month program and improving it all the time. So yeah. During those 10 years, we managed to give the students what was required for them to become part of the social network and professional network of coaching. And so first we aligned ourselves with IAC, the International Association of Coaching. I was part of the board of governors. And then I saw what was going to happen with the ICF. I saw it growing because I was one of those coaches back in the day that didn't believe in credentials. I was one of that was saying, coaching is free. It's expensive. You know, I was like, badges. We don't need no badges. And then I saw it happening. I said, uh-oh, listen, we got to get into this game with ICF. And without having, I never took an ACTP or an ACTSH. I had a lot of certifications done, even the Tony Robbins Date with Destinies. I submitted all my work through portfolio. I got a mentor, a Colombian mentor that signed the mentorships for me, did the videos, and I was awarded PCC. I was straight PCC. And then we started getting our program with accredited with CCEs. Then we made a bridge to ACSTH with the master level. And last year, when they started these level ones, level twos, level three, we were awarded 2 level ones. And it was because our team grew to a point that I had a person, I have a person dedicated for ICF affairs because there's a lot of paperwork and, you know, they really want to see that you have a solid team of academics in your school. So now we have, you know, what I call a school with all the toys, and we're giving these certifications, and people are leaving the graduates are getting chances and jobs in Ezra and Better Up and Torch. And some of them even have generated their own firms, and they're writing books, and they're becoming celebrity and the whole thing. So ILC Academy is pretty well known in Latin America. And right now in 2014, we're having everything in English for the United States, because half of our students are from the United States, Hispanic community in the United States. So we're starting to deliver, having this translated so we can have our first cohort 2014 in English. And since we already have a marketing that's worldwide, we want to go towards the Asia and Middle East market because I saw that opportunity to converge this year. So it's a very exciting moment. And so we get involved in all this stuff. We can get to travel all over the place, except for in COVID. COVID, we had to do everything online.
Yeah. And you know what strikes me about this, Fernando, is that you're at the forefront of it again. Like, you've been at the forefront of coaching since 1982, and you're still at the forefront, even now, as you speak about taking it into Asia and continuing and educating. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, you know, this is something that I enjoy, we enjoy, you know, a team. We're really close. You know, from 2014 to 2020, we traveled all over Latin America delivering the certification because it was all live. It was three-day weekends and 3 months of practice, you know, online with what we had. And we had a chance to go to Ecuador, Chile, Colombia, Puerto Rico, Miami, Houston, Mexico. And then we had the tour panned out for 2020, starting in March. March 18th was going to be Puebla, Mexico. Then we were going to go down to Ecuador, Quito and Guayaquil and Cuenca. And then we'd go down Santiago, Viña. And 2 weeks before that tour, it was a six-month tour, COVID.
Yep.
My wife jumped into the company to do a whole re-engineering and turn it all into online. We had been doing online like once or twice a year, but we turned it on. So in these 4 years, what we did was grow. That was the 4 years that we did the bridge with ICF. That was the 4 years that, you know, we became a more recognized school than before because of the internet. And now it's like a new normality that we're looking forward to creating newer things. And I was starting to get into that stuck state. And then when I was in Converge, I saw the need to have this school in English and not a school that is only an American school. The whole concept is a multilingual, multinational, multicultural experience where a student from New York can participate with a student from India or a student from California or from Colombia, and they have a different worldviews, and it's so enriching. to have a conversation and know how to really connect with when you realize that when you coach somebody in Shanghai, the skills that you use in coaching provide the same effect, you come to the conclusion, this is one world. Because I was amazed that, or somebody from Switzerland, the whole reflective practice is universal. So that's when you start seeing this is a real thing.
Exactly. Just what you said, the whole reflective practice is universal. Yeah, these are, because, you know, they go, some of these tools can be very specific and sort of born out of psychology, but so many of them just go to the deepest level of just human nature. I mean, just of self-observation and, you know, it's incredible. But the idea, the notion of the school that you're running, that you're developing this organization into a, you know, multilingual, multicultural, global training school. I mean, I think that's fascinating and such an incredible asset to be bringing all those, I mean, as much as it is the same, all those different cultures and languages together. It's fascinating to me. And, you know, congratulations on building something truly impressive.
Thank you. No, thank you. And it's not only the competencies and the technique. I mean, there's a human quality that comes into developing a coach, to educating a coach, because it's about trust. And trust is getting in contact with a stranger and having that person take something that's intimately connected to their world and sharing it with you in vulnerability. And you notice it because they say, wow, Fernando, you know, I never said that. I've never told this to anybody. When you hear those words, man, you're at a level of trust, vulnerability, courage, everything. You're really partner. You know, that's when you know that what you hold in your hand is something very delicate, very precious. It has to be nurtured. And that's where, you know, this whole thing of the code of ethics and having an organization like ICF behind you is very important. But we have to build what's coming in the future for what is happening in coaching, which is growing. It's growing. I mean, you have companies such as BetterUp that have been valued at more than $4 billion that have already positioned more than 2 million sessions. You don't know how much data they have recollected. And not only BetterUp, Coach Hub, Torch, Ezra, Coaching Source. So it's happening. Even and now you have artificial intelligence and the whole thing, but you can't substitute the human aspect that provides that love and nurturing that comes into the session.
Yeah. And, you know, I was having a conversation on this very topic with someone earlier today, and we sort of came to add on to that, the idea with the artificial intelligence, you know, for a client to say something, it's like if a tree falls in the woods. If a client says something that needs to get said, there needs to be someone there to hear it. You know, otherwise, it's as if it was not said. You know, you cannot admit your fears or flaws or dangers or what you're scared of to a wall. It has to be to a human being. It has to be heard. Otherwise, it has not been said.
I've really gone to town investigating that principle. Vulnerability, the magic that happens, what you say, conveying what you have to a person. And I ran into a series of books and work from a doctor in Santa Barbara called David Richo, R-I-C-H-O. And he's been in relationship. And he studies love. And he says there are five A's that are connected to love. And if you find it in another person, you get these five A's, you get addicted to it.
Okay.
Attention. They pay attention. Somebody pays attention. Acceptance of who you are. Allowance, they allow you to be, they allow you to scream, they allow you to yell. It's part of it. And the last two are appreciation and affection. And he says the way he came up with this was studying babies. Babies survive because they are provided with these five A's. And in Romania, in the war, there was a case study. There was a hospital where they had all these babies that were there. They didn't have no parents because the parents got blown up in the war. And there were few nurses. So they couldn't pay attention to all the babies. So the head nurse had to make a decision. And he said, listen, we're just going to provide attention to these babies, half of them. The other half, you know, we'll see what happens. Well, the babies that were provided attention and affection and appreciation survived and later on became people operating in society.
Yeah.
Half of the babies that never had attention didn't make it.
Wow.
So he says that he gives the explanation why we get so heartbroken when somebody leaves us, because it's taken away unfairly. So you end up, oh, without that, and you're looking for it desperately, and the whole journey of life is to find it within you. Now, in coaching, we have to listen. And you cannot listen if you do not pay attention. So you got the first A. In coaching, there is no judgment, no judgment call. So there you got acceptance. Allowance, the client chooses freely. Even if he decides a route that is not aligned with you, that's coaching. And then appreciation and affection. I think affection is your own sauce. I am in love with all my clients. And we have a relationship that transcends time. And it's very nurturing and very solid and very rhythmically aligned. It's not the same style in all the sessions. That's why, you know, the competencies are very fine, very cool. But you can't guarantee that your session is going to run on what do you want to work on this, you know, what do you want us to work together in this session? It works fine in some clients, in some cases. Sometimes it's just you have to find your own way.
But these five A's, I mean, they give an incredible direction and an incredible, I mean, it's almost a shadow set of competencies, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to operate for, if you're going to have five operating principles for guiding yourself through a session or working with a client, I mean, these five A's seem to be pretty stellar to me.
Yeah. Well, it's stellar to a relationship with anybody.
Yeah.
You know, if you're with someone and you pay attention and you accept, you know, they feel the vibe. It's love. You're giving them the primordial components of love. And now if you receive that from the same person, you're in heaven. But, you know, sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't.
Yeah, and maybe sometimes it changes from day to day too, but, you know. So let me ask you, so the school, so how many students do you have? This is a cohort, would you say 112? Is that right?
And then right now we are in cohort 112.
Uh-huh. And how many students?
The 29th online, there are 72 students enrolled, and we have students from, half of them are in the United States. We have some from South Florida, some are in California, New York. We have a fella from Abu Dhabi. And then you have people in Mexico and Chile and Argentina and Colombia and in the countries mixed. And it's a really exciting thing. Monday nights is the session. And then every week they have their triads. And then further ahead, they're going to have their mentoring and everything. So we cover 12 modules where they have a skill set that can give them the basic tools to go out and do the stuff, do the work. And then if they want, they come back to the master level. That's where we really go down into developing the competencies for level one in ACC.
Got it.
Even though that the core is level one, we separate the mentoring. I don't want to drill them. I don't want them to focus only on competency, because it's frustrating. It's hard. I want them to enjoy the discovery of bringing future to the present, of inspiring, you know, of understanding why we do what we do, and start really, really focusing on deep listening, but for the joy of listening. Not because you have to, because you discover what happened. And then from there, they get the option. Okay, you have the mentoring for level one, or you want to go to the master level. So the master level also provides a space for coaches from other schools, the ontological schools, the schools that people have done studies. So it's something exciting. We have a CEO program, but it's not accredited by ICF.
Mm-hmm.
It's a standalone IAC executive coaching. It's more like a training for a consulting firm than anything.
Mm.
Because the difference is that if you're going to do executive coaching, you got to know about organization and systems and reporting and feedback and all that stuff and how to sell to these companies.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's what I was going to ask you about. I was curious about how much of the curriculum do you spend, you know, so many coaching programs sort of split their time between like, here's the coaching skills and here's the business of coaching, you know, get a niche and find an audience. And I mean, do you teach the business side as well, the business of coaching, or do you focus more on the skills or mix it up, or how's that work for you guys?
I decided to put the business side in the CEO program, where we have 8 modules of coaching and 4 modules of consultative selling, negotiating. I was a consultant in Communispan. I was a sales communication trainer and coach. So for years, I delivered consultative selling for the companies in Communispan back in the day. These are consulting firms, so it's now code of ethics. It was IBM, Abbott, General Electric, all those companies. Back in the day, it was strategic selling, Socratic selling, spin selling. That was before you were born.
Yeah. I wish.
Communispan was in at the Colgate Tower, Park Avenue in, I think it was around 49th or 52nd in Park.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Sure. Yeah, I know it.
Yeah, they were in the 25th floor and stuff. I used to go there for training and, you know, get to meet the fellas. It was the typical New York consulting firm of that time, everybody on their phones, calling clients, closing deals. It was very exciting.
I bet it was. Probably all in neckties and smoking cigarettes, too.
Yeah. So now, I mean, these consultative selling, I mean, provide what coaches should know. I mean, if you are going to do prospecting, going to the companies, you know, I always tell them, listen, I'm here in Brickell. Tons of companies. Got to know how to go in, how to have a meeting, how to provide a contract, a proposal, how to negotiate and go into that place where, you know,
well, dude, the whole thing. I mean, that is super because, you know, so much of the business training that I think shows up in these coaching programs is exactly what I just said a minute ago, where it's like, you got to have a niche, you got to have an elevator pitch, you got to have the statement. And what you're talking about is different. You're talking about the deep skills that are required to operate at that corporate level, to, you know, to know what it takes, know how to walk down that hallway, how to handle yourself in that meeting, and how to, as you said, to deliver the proposals and act in a Fortune 100 business-like manner, to be someone of that environment.
Yeah, it's a way of being, of showing up and handling yourself and knowing how to relate with these CEOs, vice presidents of human capital. And the superpower is listening. When you're training salespeople from AT&T, IBM, whatever, the most difficult thing is teaching them how to listen. They don't listen. They just want to pitch. And in consultative selling, you got to understand. That's why they call it the Socratic selling. Understand what are the needs, what are the requirements, what's happening, what do they want to improve? And then from there, deliver a no surprises proposal. This is what you need. This. And from there, you develop a proposal. You got to be quick. You got to know that you're going to play against other players, and then the negotiating, and then the lunches, the whole thing. But like back in the day, we still invite clients to lunch. We still, you know, maintain relationships and knock on doors and go to the networking events.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's certainly something to be said for digital marketing, online marketing, et cetera, but boy, you know, there's something to be said about those, about relationships, about showing up in person, about being a person, and about listening, as you just said. Hey, Fernando, so let me ask you. So the school is full-time, a big part of your life. Are you still coaching as well?
Absolutely. No. I can't stop coaching. No. That's the only thing I know how to do. I work with several of the brokers. This year, I lowered my load because we're having more programs. I have my own clients, and I just got certified as coaching supervisor, which is another area that's blowing me away. Supervision, coaching, yes. Supervision, which, you know, I don't know why in the coaching world they give you a name of something that is not what it is, and it's a hard sale. Because when they said, Fernando, you know, you should become a coaching supervisor, I remember back in the day, we don't need no badges. I don't need no supervisor. But coaching supervision is coaching for coaches where you're not restricted at all. I mean, it's a conversation of two peers speaking about cases. Listen, I got a client and this is happening to me. And the process, which is very systemic, lets you know that you are seeing things and you are sometimes transferring or counter-transferring what's happening to the client, and you're not seeing the big picture because either you're too nice or you're too rigid or there's something about the client that's detonating in you something. And supervision helps you clarify. In fact, in Europe, if you want to maintain your license to coach, you have to have two sessions of supervision a year. And that's why Damien Goldberg is bringing supervision to America, because it's needed. I know a lot of companies that, you know, require coach supervision because it's a place where you can really bounce ideas about what you're doing. And it improves a lot of what you're doing. And in that place, the supervisor can give you feedback and can tell you what to do from an educational standpoint, from an ethical standpoint, and from an internal place. And you can also relate on what's coming up for you. So it gives you very advanced and mature tools that you can apply in coaching as well.
There was I was reading a book on consulting, and they mentioned that if you spend too much time with a client, eventually you become part of the problem. The interesting kind of topic, I suppose, to bring up in supervision, I would suppose.
Absolutely. Those are the kinds of stuff. Those are the kind of topics that you bring to a supervision session. You know, you can bring something that has to do with ethics, But usually you bring a case. Like, I'm going to give you an example. I was coaching a fella that he's like a director of these luxury stores that are in Canada. He wants to be promoted. So I'm coaching the guy, and it's like he was like one of these people in these in this fashion industry. His boss was a woman that would travel to London and select what colors will be in fashion for, and what are the garments that are going to sell in the store and the fashion, all of that world. And he was up for promotion. And it was like the fella in The Devil Wears Prada, you know, that he was going to be up for promotion. And I said, oh man, this is the guy from The Devil Wears Prada with the boss that handles the fashion. So eventually there was that time for promotion and he got promoted. That happy ending to that story. So now he is vice president regional, you know, in charge of the west of Canada. And the next session, oh, how you doing? Oh, everything's great. Everything's fine. Everybody loves me. You know, the Canadian guy, he's the nicest guy in the world. Everybody loves me. It's very nice. You know, he's celebrating. Next session. Oh, so how's it going? What do you want to work on together today? No, everything's great, Fernando. Everything's nice. Everybody loves me. Jeez, damn. The third, it's the same thing. So I go to supervision. And my supervisor got me to the understanding that I was coaching for promotion. And now I am coaching CEO. It's a different game. It's a different set of challenge. It's a different mindset. It's a different way of showing up. And from that session, I came to the next session. I don't know what had possessed me, but from that place, I remember the question that changed the whole thing was, okay, I understand this. Everybody loves you. Everything's going great. Of course, everybody loves you. You're the vice president, regional. What is not perfect yet? And from then on, boom, it was more complexity. And we've been going with this for a while. It's been such an adventure. And that's what supervision provides. It's a catalyst for improving performance. It's coaching for coaches.
I love it. And you know, the thing I love about it, most about what you just said, and it's a great example. I'm so glad that you shared it. And I thank you for that. What I love most about it is the idea of we can get them somewhere, we can reset or recontract, and then we can go again. Where are we going next? Because like you say you love your clients. I know what you mean. I love mine as well, right? And I almost want to work with them for the rest of their lives, right? Just sort of going and going and what's next and where are we going? And I love the way that this allows a coach to access, keep fresh, find new perspectives and find new ways to continue to be impactful.
There's something that you leave behind and it's very humbling because it's not going to be forever. It's not therapy. Coaching for an executive has its time, its duration.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes, you know, you have a client. I have a client I've been working for 18 years, but that's one in a dozen. But generally, you know, you get 3 months, 2 months. My contracts are 2 months, you know, 8 sessions, mm-hmm. plus, you know, group coaching, this whole thing, because I believe in coaching.
Someone's working with you in a private client. They're doing a 2-month contract. That's 8 sessions. Is there a group in there too? Or is it just the straight 8? Or...
So I usually have a group coaching session at the beginning. This is like a kickoff. And I do my HIF thing and I do a little bit of the Tony Robbins, you know, the whole thing. And then we go through coaching sessions. And in the middle, we have a set of group coaching for groups of 6 to 8 where we have a specific topic, you know, resilience, feedback, corporate presence, whatever. And that's in the program plus the assessments. And then at the end, we have another find, you know, like the wrap up of the whole thing. And then you have 8 sessions once a week. And at the end, there's the report, the whole thing, and it works. You know, it's like the proposal that we most share with the clients. And from there, they can scale or they can do whatever. That's our first approach.
And I can see how that very well suits the needs of an organization. This is obviously an organizational play.
And no, it works for all these companies, you know, insurance, real estate, even interior design, art.
For sure. Yeah. Cool. Our listeners, if they're interested in working with you, if they're interested in learning more about the school or training, where can they find you? Where should they go to interact with you?
Well, the name is my Instagram and my LinkedIn, Fernando Stelis. We also have the school is ILC, which is International Life Coaching, ilcacademy.com. It's easy.
Is your executive program in English?
Not yet. Nothing is in English. I've served the Hispanic community since 2013. But now, you know, I'm just thinking, look, this is a great program. We found a way to nurture the students with a very loving approach towards learning. But it's coaching, you know, so we drill them. You know, we have to practice. Like, I go to a boxing gym in South Beach, and my trainer, you know, I go there just to be in shape because I'm a surfer. There are hardly any waves in Miami, so I got to do something. And I go there just to get in shape. I'm not going to go out there street fighting. But this trainer that I have at South Beach Boxing, he's under the impression that he's training a real boxer. But I understand the concept of repeating the basics. And I take his lessons and I bring him to the coaching class about practice. You have to practice the listening. You have to drill yourself. You have to repeat it. You have to record your sessions, read it, listen to it. And if you maintain that focus, you will become the best coach in the country. And I like to give that source of inspiration because, yeah, coaching is a place where we can really reach highest highs because it's still in its co-creation phase. There are still many clients. There are not that many coaches. Look at this, 50,000 credentialed in the ICF. That's nothing. That's nothing.
You're right. That's a very few, relatively small number. I think it's very cool that it is a small number. I think, you know, okay, there's millions of therapists or whatever out there. There are definitely relatively few certified coaches out there who have gone through what it takes to get that. I think that is really cool. As you were speaking, you were talking about drilling and getting the basics down. You know, there's definitely something to that. I'm also a member of a coaching club where weekly we get together and we do drills. We drill each other and we just keep those skills sharp, right? And it reminds me of when, you know, there was a time when I worked in magazines and I was at Road and Track magazine and I was talking to a race car driver and he was explaining to me that to become a race car driver, it's a two-part process. The first part of the process is getting 100% out of the car. You know, finding the way to just get 100% maximum speed out of that car. And that is the first intense part of training. Once you've got that, and I sort of liken that to the core skills of coaching, once you know how to get 100% out of the car, only then do we start talking racing theory, what to deal with other cars on the track, how to get to the front of the pack, how to actually become a racer. So it's that one-two sort of combination. And when, of course, when you master both, that's when you get to go out on the big track with the big boys.
So it's about getting the performance of the vehicle to the max, and then
yeah,
it's about the pilot,
right? The mechanics, right? And it's kind of just like I was likening it to those core skills. Once you've got all those core skills, once you're getting 100% out of the car, then I feel you can really look at your client. Now, going back to the drills, the more that we drill, the more automatic they become. The less we think about it, and the more we can actually focus in on what's happening in the present.
Mm-hmm. And at the time they can, with what you have. So we have the school that provides, you know, different types of opportunities for triad sessions, which are observed, and barter sessions, which we have in ICF. I'm handling the barter sessions to provide connections with coaches that want to practice.
Fernando, as a bit of a closing question, but it's an important question because, you know, a lot of coaches are really thinking about this. With everything that's going on in terms of artificial intelligence and the emergence of the chatbots and all that, and you seem to have been in the business for so long, have such a finger, you know, a set of fingers on the pulse of the industry. What is it that you see in the future of coaching?
Well, artificial intelligence is going to help us be much better. You know, they speak about the artificial intelligence machines that can provide a non-directive conversation, but it's about the human aspect that the artificial intelligence cannot replicate. The transference and counter-transference, the love and the connection, the creativity of changing the way that the session goes. Now, what is artificial intelligence providing today, for example? There's a company called Ovida, and they developed a technology that can check your video of coaching, and it transcribes. It analyzes the rhythm. It gives you graphs of how well you're doing in listening and the silences. It provides you a pinpoint place where the competencies are, and it also gives you what markers you hit. So we're looking at a place where you have a session, we'll put it in that thing, and you see how good you did. And that's a place where you can improve. I don't know. It's compared to a simulator for race cars.
Yeah. And what about as a profession? I mean, as the profession itself, I mean, obviously you're a believer. You're bringing, you know, multiple or hundreds of people into the into the industry. As a job, as a career, still advisable? You see a bright future?
Oof. Absolutely. Look, let's take one of these companies that are, I call them the brokers. One of these brokers just hit a contract, a deal with one of the major technological firms in the world. And they're providing leadership skills for, I think it's like 60,000 worldwide. 60,000 worldwide executives that are going to go through 3, 6, and 1 year programs coaching once every week. First of all, that's a ton of money.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of coaches they got to hire too. So I think if a coach reaches a level where he can apply to these companies, I have a client for supervision. She worked for 7 of these companies.
We're talking BetterUp and Torch and those.
Yes, kind of companies, BetterUp, right? Torch, Coach Hub, Coaching Source, Bravely. And she applied to all of them. She's working for MCC. She's a PCC. And she's got her plate full. She's happy. She's in Spain right now. She's in Madrid. And so you can start working that arena, you know, just to have your bread and butter. You can start working on your own skills to provide coaching for the small and medium business. You know, you go to SBA in your local city and you'll find which companies are there that you can give a presentation and eventually get a few clients. You can write books, conferences. You know, I've written 3 books that are on Amazon, a novel called The Executive Surfer. You know, and there's so much creativity involved when you're around coaches that you can start making an industry of its own within your own place. And it can be the proper source of income. I mean, you got to believe in it. You got to commit to it. You got to love it. And you got to keep on going until you make things happen.
Yeah. And you bring up something so interesting there, which is there are so many creative ways to add to coaching in general. It's not only one-to-one. It's everything. It's education. It's writing books. It's giving speeches. It's putting it out there. Yeah, you're right. There's a tremendous number of ways to apply the skills. The trick is applying them, I suppose, you know, and as you just said, getting creative. But again, I would say, again, to your point, if you're having troubles figuring out what to do with your coaching practice, sit down with other coaches and start banging out some ideas. I mean, coaches themselves are great at talking through these problems. I know, because I talk through these problems with a lot of coaches. And you can get some really imaginative solutions pretty quick. The other thing I thought was so impressive, what you just said, is yes, the platforms, they are definitely a place where we can go once you have your ACC or even better, your PCC stepping into BetterUp. And now you've got 20 clients you're working with. And now you're feeling good about yourself because you're working with these great clients. You're doing a lot of reps. You're getting some money in your pocket. It's fantastic. The biggest thing I think you just said that's so important to me is that they're still signing these huge contracts, because that indicates that the demand is there. And we know when we see the Fortune 100 and Silicon Valley companies getting value out of coaching, we know that's going to trickle down and going to increase. And so that, I think, speaks to the demand, which I think speaks to the future, and that sort of powers us all.
Absolutely. And I think that these companies are starting to listen to the ICF, the Institute of Coaching of Harvard. There are coalitions involved. These fellas that are heading these companies, they're young folks. They're startup, you know, geniuses, brilliant kids. You know, I call them kids. The guy from Aesop, which is another company, I love that company, you know, and I saw him in an interview with Hoffman from IOC, and he's a French fella, I think.
Yeah.
And they got some companies, you know, they got the Elon Musk companies, you know?
Oh, yeah. So
these are great clients to just interact with and get involved, you know, get involved in your chapters, in the organizations, in the conferences. You got to be seen because, and that's one of the lessons from Tony Robbins, you know, you are going to create the results based on the expectations of the group that surrounds you. That's the law of association.
Totally.
So you be around coaches that are doing the work. Yeah. It's going to happen. It just, you know, one route. You know, if you do the ACC and you're very formal, educated, you get the PCC, you get the MCC. So you develop a little training outfit and you do everything that you have to do to get a little CCE program. You can go to any town in the USA, to any of these state colleges, which were before community colleges, go to education. Just listen, I have a coaching program for your students, and that's it. You have a place to deliver your program.
So true. So true. Yeah. And that's a really, I mean, again, it's another another very creative approach to finding where the money is, and at the same time pushing forward the art and craft of coaching.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then understanding that we live in a global society. I mean, this thing transcends the borders. I mean, if you look at Asia and you just deal with 0.001% of that market, forget about it.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Game over. Game over.
Well, Fernando, this has been just absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with us today. I mean, it really is a wealth of knowledge, and it's just so great to get your perspective. And again, one thing I just wanted to echo before we go to the listeners, Fernando said it, get involved with your local ICF. I mean, it's the fastest route to feeling like you belong to a community and that you've got friends in the business. It's the easiest way. It's the best $50 or $100 you'll spend to get your membership at your local ICF.
No, and not only that, it's not because I'm in Miami, but I tell you something, the ICF South Florida is something very, very special. I don't know how to describe it, but you have wonderful people from all over the world. You know, you're involved. You've got Jimmy Glennis, you got Misha, you got Fiorella in Boca Raton, you got Victor, you know, people from all kinds of places, all kinds of ways of being. And they're really nice people to work with. You know, when we got that Luminous event and we're going towards another Luminous event where you have speakers coming in, and the people that are involved there are really taking coaching seriously. So you understand, and once you understand that it is an industry, because coaching, come on, let's be sincere, it doesn't have the best rep in the world, you know, because of what happens, the informality of training. But once you get into the coaching world, the professional coaching circles, that's it. You start opening doors that'll take you to places where coaching is validated, it's required, and they're looking for good coaches to provide the service.
Yeah. And, you know, I have a tremendous amount of affection and appreciation for ICF South Florida as well. And I would say to anyone out there, if you don't have a good local chapter, join ICF South Florida. We'd love to have you. And you do not need to live in South Florida. We have members from all over the world. So come join our chapter, because we'd love to have you. And as Fernando just said, it is a great chapter. And you're absolutely right. Coaching can be a very lonely profession, particularly after you've finished school. Or you've gone to a school, now you've finished school, now it's just you and your hometown, and you're trying to call yourself a life coach sort of around town. It can get very lonely. You're not working with many clients. Join a chapter. It's the fastest way. And as Fernando just said, Fernando, I feel the same way. You know, we sit down to dinner with your fellow ICF South Florida coaches. You're amongst peers. You know, there's such a high level of education and sophistication and understanding of the world. And it's just a wonderful group to be a part of. So I'm glad you brought that up. Cool. Well, that does it, my man. Thank you, Fernando, for being here. Yeah, like I said, man, it has been an absolute pleasure. And we look forward to seeing you around the local ICF chapter.
Thank you, Eric. And thank you for giving me a space to share these views with the community at ICF South Florida and nationwide.
What a great conversation. It's always so educational and inspirational to talk with colleagues and learn from their experiences. That's why it's so important to continue to collaborate with others. And that is one of the best reasons to consider working with a certified coach. Working with a certified coach opens a whole new space to learn, grow, and design your future in a way that you want it. To learn more about what coaching is and how it can help you, please visit our website at icfsouthflorida.org. There you'll find educational resources, our events calendar, and our coaches directory. We hope you'll find exactly what you're looking for, and if you like what you see, consider becoming a member. We would love to welcome you to our community. That's it for now. Thanks again for joining us in the ICF South Florida's Coaches Corner. Until next week, I'm Eric Gorris. Take care and be well.